Welcome to It's a Sublime Life, inspiration on living an excellent life and seeing the beauty already in life. You can find It's a Sublime Life on most social media platforms. Just search for It's a Sublime Life. Hello, welcome to It's a Sublime Life. We have David Calero with us, and he's going to be explaining his 50 in 50 challenge, which sounds very exciting for the new year. David, it is over to you.
Hi, I'm David Calero. I work in pharmaceutical and healthcare consulting. I've got a company called Prescient Healthcare Group. As Hayley said, kind of more pertinent to this conversation, I'm the founder and participant of a little charity fitness challenge we call 50 in 50. Would you like to know more about it?
Oh, definitely. So I've kind of briefly gone on. You've got a little Instagram page and it's called 50 in 50, and the 50 are numbers 50 underscore challenge. So people can go there and take a look at what's happening. So what is it? What does one, who is it for? Is it for charity? And what does one have to do?
It is, yes. So basically the rules, people who are doing it still seem to be quite confused by the rules. They're really simple. You do 50 workouts in 50 days.
Yeah, I'm right.
Minimum half an hour of each. You can double up to have rest days, or if you're traveling or doing whatever, to give yourself a little bit of a flexibility. And you can do basically any type of workout you like, whatever your thing is. When we first started it, we did, I do a lot of kind of boot camps and HIIT classes, and they're quite full on. To do 50 of them, I think, was off-putting for a lot of people, weirdly. I even more weirdly like them. So we've made it, whatever your thing is, if it's running, if it's spin, if it's HIIT, if it's weights, if it's swimming, do what you like. Just do 50 of them in 50 days.
That sounds good. I like the flexibility there in what you can do. And so, you know, do you have to kind of, how do you prove that you've done this? You know,
do you know what, everyone, I had to pull together a Q&A. People were asking all these questions, and on one hand, it's really simple. I go, you're all good people. You're doing it for charity, which we can come on to in a minute. I trust you. It's like, just do it.
Okay, so there's no critical evidence needed.
But people did seem to want a bit more kind of evidence. So ultimately, you're accountable to yourself, right? And what we've said to everyone doing it is like, this should be hard, right? This shouldn't be, what's the easiest way I can get through? Like, you have to want to make it as doable as possible, but it should be hard. The clue is in the name. It's called a workout. It's work. You should be hard. You should be challenging yourself. You should be doing things you don't normally do. And ultimately, you're accountable to yourself. If you've taken a few shortcuts, only you're going to know, right? But so we have done a couple of things. You can, we have a Facebook group and a WhatsApp group, so you can log what you've done on there. And we've actually got a Strava group this year because we've got a lot more people. So, and we've set it up for any kind of workout. So as you do it, it can record it as you go. So if you're more tech savvy and minded, do that. If you just want to do it on a grid, do that. If you just want to keep it to yourself, do that too. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. So I've let everyone know the Instagram, where you're on at Instagram. What is the Facebook group called? Sorry.
It's a private Facebook group. It's just for the participants to take. So it's to kind of, we're going to be sharing kind of advice and tips and people's stories and experiences as they go. So it's a private one just for the people taking part.
Okay. And if one wants to take part, how do they let you know they're interested, they want to be a participant and they want to join the group? How do they?
If they just, as you said, the Instagram page is 50 in 50 underscore challenge. If you just DM that and I can get back to them, give them some more information. We've had a lot of interest this year. It's been really interesting to kind of see it kind of grow and become a way bigger thing than I was ever expecting it to be. So lots of people have kind of come on board and done it that way, and I can give them as much information. And then we've got this Q&A document, as I said, that's like, that people said, so they were asking all of these questions. I said, tell you what I'll do, I'll put it all into one place, and then everyone has it. Otherwise, okay. I'm saying the same thing like 25 times, and much as I enjoy the sound of my own voice, that's a bit much for everyone.
Okay. And you said something, did you say it's on Strava? What?
Strava. So
Strava.
Strava is a fitness app, so you can track whatever you do on there, walking, running, cycling, anything really, workouts. So it's quite a nice way of just tracking things as you go, and you can just do it on your phone or on your watch.
Oh, brilliant. That's nice. And so this is for charity.
Yes.
So what is the charity? Why did you choose
Yes.
the charity? Tell me about the charity.
Yeah, so the charity is Maggie's. You might have heard of Maggie's Centres. They have, I think it's 23 or 24 centres around the UK now, and they're set up to support cancer patients and their families as they're going through the, you know, the experience. And obviously it's a devastating time in a lot of people's lives, and they give them all kinds of support, emotional, logistical. They have classes and counseling and all sorts of stuff. And the centres themselves are absolutely fantastic. I was first, it's probably worthwhile me giving you a bit of context as to how I got to this point with Maggie's and where we are. But I first became aware of them. There's a, they're beautifully, they have architecturally beautiful spaces. And that's part of the whole thing about supporting people so they can come to this place of a genuinely beautiful place to get all this care and support that they need at that point in time. And I'm from Dundee in Scotland, and there's a really it's a Frank Geary designed Maggie Centre in Dundee. It's a beautiful place. So I was kind of aware of it even when I was a a kid. But so when you and I worked together in London, I helped to set up the pharmaceutical healthcare part of the practice, and I did that in a couple of places. We set up our own business about 13, 14 years ago. We're now part of a bigger group called Prescient. And essentially what we do is two or three things. So we speak to, we do a lot of really insightful market research. So we speak to a lot of doctors, nurses, patients, their families to understand their needs, their goals, their challenges, and what they're struggling with. And what drives the decision making? So how can we really understand them kind of pretty deeply? And then we translate that into strategy. And the strategy can be on two levels. The first one is how do you create a medicine that can fulfill that need? So that might be 10 years out. What's the needs going to be in 10 years' time that we can create? And so they can help to design their clinical development programs to get to that point. So quite scientific, but and quite future looking. And the other part then, it could be much more in the here and now to say, how do we communicate the benefits of this medicine to show that they meet those needs so people understand it and we can and those products and those medicines can get used optimally in the right patients at the right time. So that's the kind of context of what I do. So because of that, the biggest area that we work in is oncology and cancer treatment. And like I personally and lots of the other team have spoken to multiple cancer patients, doctors, nurses, etc. And because we were doing this, we did a lot of work. You might have heard of the Christie Hospital in Manchester. It's a world-class kind of oncology center, research and treatment center. And one of the doctors that we knew quite well there, I said, look, can we come? Can a small group of us come? Because we do all these interviews and we understand it, but actually, what's it like in the center? And they were really fantastic and accommodating and took us in there for the day. And we were given access to the, you know, speaking to patients in the chemotherapy unit and occupational health and the support they get and everything. And it was incredible, humbling experience really to do that. And a couple of people in that mentioned Maggie's, and there's a Maggie's Centre kind of literally next door to the Christie. And I was parked right next to it, actually. And I was sat there afterwards, and it's quite a impactful experience, as you would imagine. And I was thinking about people then going from, say, being diagnosed with receiving their diagnosis or their treatment or understanding they're going to get chemotherapy and then going to a place like Maggie's. I didn't know a huge amount about it at that point, but a little seed was planted in my head. And me being quite slow, that seed took about 5 years to do anything with. So as our business grew, we got to the point, and it's one of the lovely things about as we've grown the business is that we were able to do more for charity and kind of more kind of social enterprise elements of the business. And so 3 years ago, we had a bit of a pitch process to we have a charity of the year now. And so we that was the first year. So we chose, and there were three or four kind of really worthy causes. And one was more in healthcare, and we chose Maggie's, and I was in the kind of pitch team for that. And we worked with a coach called Nicola, who's an amazing, amazing woman. And she'd been used Maggie's, and she did a little video for us of what it was like and the benefits and what she got from it. And she spoke, and speaking to her about it and then what she said in the video, she spoke with such incredible warmth about this place. And if you think about, that's the kind of, everyone I've spoken to that's used Maggie's is the same. It's not just what they say, the tone of what they say. And if you think about the really low place and difficult place a lot of these people are in when they first use Maggie's and interact with it, to speak with such warmth about a place like that says a huge amount. So I said to the team, our little pitch team, whatever you do, play the video. We've only got a short amount of time, but play the video. And like selfishly, we win this pitch on that video alone. Forget what everyone else is saying. We win the pitch. So we did that, and we did, and the whole team got behind the charity and what we do for the year. We do that with different charities, and it's been an amazing experience. But the first thing they do, like in January, Maggie's have this 50-mile challenge. So you run 50 miles for Maggie's. And so if quite a few of us did that, about 20 of us did that, and we got a real nice little community feel about it in our team. So over the next year, obviously we got to know Maggie's more and did some more, lots of fundraising with them. And I actually knew a couple of friends and family who'd used the center. So I knew even more about what they were like. And I thought, I want to do more for this, for the charity. And the other thing that, which was a real kind of like impactful moment for me, I visited the center in Manchester, and it kind of changed my view of what I wanted to do for Maggie's. So as usual with me, I was running a fraction late, and I kind of ran in the door, and you get this, and so you're a bit kind of like behind, and you get this immediate sense of calm comes over you. I can't really explain it very well. It's an extraordinary feeling, and the feeling you get in the whole place is of care and love and support. And if you think about the clinical setting that these patients have come from into that environment, it's just astonishing. That it's an astonishing thing that they do. So I then, this is quite a long story.
No, go for it.
And then it got to the next, coming up to the next January, and I thought, I want to do something like the running thing, but something slightly different. So I do these boot camps, as I said. I spoke to my PT, Nikki, and said, I'm thinking about doing this challenge, which is called 1550. It's 50 of your boot camps, either online or in person. I do them and she does them in 50 days. What do you think? Unfortunately, she said, it sounds a bit mad, but I think you should do it. And here's like some help, I can help you do it. So it was originally going to be just something that I did. I would just do it and then get sponsors and raise some money. I mentioned it to, I managed to persuade my little sister up in Scotland, a couple of work colleagues, and then one friend who does boot camp with me. So there's five of us did it the first year. I thought, that's it. We'll do it. We'll do 50. All good. The next year, I thought, I kind of pinpointed that some people I know will do it. They're either quite persuadable or quite kind of healthy, health and fitness conscious. So I'll get them. So I think about 12 or 13 of us did it last year. And then this year, a couple of things happened. First of all, I got myself organized early. I went to 4 days a week, and one of the reasons I wanted to go to 4 days a week, partly for family reasons, partly for kind of personal kind of time, right, and how you use your time, and thirdly for things like this. So to do things that are more about, you know, a sense of purpose and a sense of giving in some way. And so I had a bit more time deliberately. So I thought, if I've made this time available to do stuff like this, I should really do stuff like this. So I thought, if I get myself organized and try, and you know, I could maybe get 20 people, maybe 30. I think I'm quite good with people. And it turns out, as people keep telling me, I'm very persistent. And so I thought, we got to 20, and I thought, okay, that's good. We got to 30. I thought, brilliant, let's try and get 50. I didn't tell anyone I had a target of 50. In my head, though, let's get to 50. That sounds quite a nice number for 50 and 50. And then it grew to 100, and then 150, and we've now, I think I haven't really paid too much attention over Christmas, but I think we're about 175 people in 13 different countries and four continents, something like that. And I think we might get a few last minute, I've been eating too much over Christmas. Okay, I was maybe thinking about doing it. I'll definitely commit to it. So it's become a bigger thing, but all for me, the more people I did a charity challenge a few years back called 12 for 12, which is more endurance things, one a month, again, for cancer charities with one of my business partners, actually. So 12 events in 12 months. And the reason why we did that, as I was thinking, I'd done quite a few little kind of sponsorship things and 10Ks and half marathons. I thought, if you want to raise some serious money for places like this that deserve serious money, you need to do something quite big. So either you do a one-off thing that's a big thing, I don't know, row the Atlantic or climb Everest. And I thought, well, I'm not sure I'm capable of that in terms of time or physical ability, or you make it a big thing. So 12 things over 12 months is quite a big commitment. So it becomes a big thing that you can create some attention and awareness around. And that was really successful. And it's a similar thing with 1550. If you're just doing like a one-off thing, but the commitment of doing 50 things in 50 days, I think, and its simplicity, although, as I said, people seem to get a bit confused about it, but I think its simplicity works really nicely. And then you can create, like, we do lots of stuff around communications and brand and how you can create something out of a concept, really. And so I think the fact that it's a big thing. And then once you've got a lot of people doing it and it's become, you know, multiple countries, it becomes a bigger thing and it creates a kind of snowball momentum effect. So that's why I started doing it and where we've got to with it today.
Sounds really brilliant. Well done. Well done for it. I picked up there that, yes, you can do whatever you like, whatever workout suits you, but am I right in thinking then that also you can join the boot camp every day? Is that right? Is that on every day and people can do that as their option?
Yeah, it's on every day. So my PT is called Nikki McBurney. She's a pal of mine. She's brilliant. She's like, she actually knows what she's talking about on this thing, which I don't. And I kind of think of her as more of a kind of co-creator of this, because partly it's her fault and partly she's caused me a lot of pain. So I've kind of pulled her into it, but she gives a lot of time and effort and energy, and she's got a lot of energy. For this, I think if you're a PT, it comes with the territory, right? If you don't come with energy, then you might as well do something different. But she's really good at what she does. So she has an online group, which is at the moment run via Facebook. I think she is about to change platforms, called Nikki's Bootcamp. She's giving access to that to anyone on the team. So it's really good because it's the flexibility of it. There's lots of different types. Some are more weight sessions, some are more hits, some are, you know, shorter, some are longer, some are more beginners. So you can kind of pick and choose. Why I like it is in terms of time, and a lot of them are like half an hour. So in terms of time, it's not a huge time commitment. And also you do it at home. So there are some live boot camps that I do, and a few of the guys that are doing it do in person. But for people that are all around, you know, the country in different places, you can access it online at home. So literally your half hour is a half hour commitment. You log in, you do it, and then you're done. So again, I think it gives people lots of flexibility. And I know that during the challenge, I'm going to be traveling with work a couple of times. I just get up, do it in the hotel in the morning, done, off you go. So yeah, you can access that as well. So I'm hoping that we are going to be running some live group sessions as part of that. So we kick off, we kick off the whole thing on Saturday the 6th of January, which is, it's one of these things a bit like Christmas. It's always 2 months away and then suddenly it's like 5 days away and you're like, okay, this is a thing now. So we're having a live kind of online group session that Nikki's running next Saturday, and we'll do some other group things together as we go.
What time is that, sorry, on the Saturday morning?
Don't have a time yet. I think it'll be in the morning or lunchtime. We're just trying to work out time zones with different people in different countries. Sure. But even if people can't do it live, everything's recorded and everything's like, then you can do later. So most of the stuff that I do, for example, I do on catch up. I can't do it when it's live, so I do catch up, which is the next best thing.
Okay, great. So now if people wanted to give to the charity and not necessarily commit for whatever reason to the 50 and 50 challenge, is there a way that they can just give?
Yeah, we have a Just Giving page. Again, if you search for either my name, David Calero, or 1550, it should come up. I can give you the link to it after. So yeah, it's a Just Giving page. The other thing that we've said, again, in terms of, I didn't really realize or expect people overseas to get involved, but what we did happen. So in our at work, we have we're a global business, and we have nine different offices. Sorry, five in Europe, three in the US, and one in India. So I had three or four, maybe a few more than that last year, but half the team squad who took part last year were from work. And Ben, one of my colleagues in New Jersey, got really involved in it, and he was the one that said we should expand this out to other people in the group and see who we can get. And so I had a little mini goal to try and get at least one person from every office, and we've done that and more. And people at Prescient have been so supportive; it's unbelievable. We must have 50 people. A lot from the Manchester office where I'm based, obviously, but in the US and all over, and you know, the Spanish team we got right behind it. It's been incredible. So because of that, became like overseas became a thing. So I thought, let's see if we can get some more dots on the map, and like people, friends and family that I know in all over the place, you know, in the States and Canada and Australia and all sorts are taking part, bless them. So so because of that, what we've also said around the charity is that this is Maggie's is a UK charity. So for me, it's about raising money and awareness for Maggie's, but it's also about raising money generally for charities. So if you're more likely, if you've got a lot of connections in the UK and people that are going to sponsor, you want to support Maggie's, excellent. My hunch is that you're going to get more people contributing and donating if it's a charity that's local to you. So if you want to choose your own charity, if you're outside the UK, crack on and do that. If you want to support Maggie's, also do that. So I think it increases the spread and, you know, the fundraising capability that we have. But the Maggie's is the main fundraising charity, and we have a Just Giving page for that.
Okay, and if one wanted to do it, and then would I get in the sponsorship money and then pay this sponsorship money into your Just Giving page? Is that how it would work on
practice? Yeah, so people are doing it in different ways. And you know, it's interesting, like even culturally, in some of the German team are doing it, so that like it's not really a thing in Germany that people give money. So I said, like, just don't worry about that. And so some people are just like, I'm not really comfortable with that. Can I just put a small donation in myself? Do that. Obviously, most people are then sharing it with friends and family and getting sponsorship that way. Whatever works, there's total flexibility on it. People, again, one of the questions people have had is like, is there a minimum fundraising target that I have individually? And no, it's like whatever between all of us, we'll hopefully raise a lot of money. But this, it's not on you that I have to commit to X amount in order to be able to take part. If you feel comfortable sharing with friends and family, my view is share it. If they don't want to donate, don't donate. And you know, people have lots of different charities that they put, you know, they have a preference for or an attachment to, and if they want to donate to Maggie's or somewhere else, do that. But make it available to people, and hopefully we'll raise a good chunk of money.
Great. So they can either, you know, give to your Just Giving page or create their own, or that's great. Yes. Flexibility. Okay, so we've covered a huge amount. Is there anything that you think I could have asked, anything more you want to say about it to try and get people involved?
I guess there's a couple of things around the kind of, as it's particularly this year, and again, it's kind of what I do in my job, so it's kind of in my mind a lot of this, it's like, what's its goal and objectives? And they've kind of grown from just the fundraising piece to a couple of other things, like awareness and fundraising first and foremost. But there's a piece of it which is around, and I've learned, and it's the things that I've learned along the way. So there's a part of it which is around community and teamwork. A big goal of this is to create a little community of people, like-minded people, doing a positive thing, supporting each other along the way. And that's what we're like with the WhatsApp group and the Facebook group, we really got that. And already people are kind of engaging with it. And I've said to the team, get out of this as much as you can, right? It's like, and a part of that is engage in this community. And so that's been a big part of it. I also had this thought about, started locally, next year I might try and do something even more. It's like some local businesses and getting them to support the team in some way and support the challenge. So a lot of like, and kind of linked to what the challenge is. So we've got, as a local yoga studio, my physio group, they're giving some coffee houses, et cetera, are giving kind of discounts, one of the local running shops on stuff. So we created and almost made the community even bigger. So I think a sense of, for things like this to work, I think community is a big part of it for me. And I think creating that sense of a bigger thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is that it's just about also is to getting people up and active and healthy and fit in January and obviously into February, because it's kind of 7 weeks long. But particularly in the UK or kind of Northern Europe, where a lot of us are that are doing this, it can be quite a cold, dark, miserable place. So actually having something to focus on and to get you up and out, and people are obviously at this time of year are quite often to get in that mindset of, I need to kind of, I've eaten too much, I've done too much, I need to get back on it. So having that, there is a real kind of personal health focus part to it. And actually one of my friends yesterday who's doing it, who's just recruited his brother, said there's an accountability to it. Like, I'm part of this group now, I'm part of this challenge, I need to complete it. And then once you've done something 50 times, particularly in a short period of time, like this is 50 days, it's habit changing, right? So I think if we can create that kind of, and a few people who did it last year said that, just created this new habit that I never had. So if we can help people with that. And then the third thing is that it's one of the learnings that I've had. If you can bring something that has a kind of sense of purpose and positivity to it, right? So I can't see any downside to this. I can't see anything that people could be offended by in this. Raising money for some charities, for some good causes, getting people up and active and healthy, creating a sense of community. It's a positive thing, right? And I think if you can create positive things, and then you can be, all my role is, I'm not doing any more than anyone else. I do 50 workouts, the same as everyone else. All I've done is, like, we all have this different skills that we've got. I'm rubbish at a lot of things. Anyone that's worked with me, friends, family would tell you, I am rubbish at a lot of things. My niece was giving me a hard time over Christmas because I'm rubbish at remembering birthdays. But there's a lot worse things I'm terrible at. I'm terrible at a lot of things. But I think I'm pretty good at, you know, within a sense of bringing kind of some kind of heart and passion to things, finding a purpose and helping kind of bring a team together. My role, all I've done is help to bring that team together. Everyone else is doing the same after that. So if I can be a little catalyst, and I think what I've learned in my career is that you have one person does something that's a good thing, and then people get on board with it. And I think all, you know, for me, it's been a really positive thing. The fact it's grown bigger has been an amazing thing for me to be involved in and to be able to contribute to. But ultimately, it's about the bigger purpose. And I think if you've got a purpose, which is about, I like to think I'm a positive person. If it's a purpose about having a positive impact, and that's like I had this concept I learned about a while back, which I love, which is called infinite purpose. It's like a lot of stuff you do at work and in business is like time-bound goals and specific goals. The fact that it's not, I really like. It's more about a mindset and a way of being. And so I try and be a positive person. I fail all the time with that, right? We all fail at the things we're trying to do. But if you're trying to have a positive mindset and intent, my intent is always positive, then good things will come from it. Sometimes you'll get it right, some things you won't. And this is a thing which I think is all about purpose, right? It's all about community. It's all about a positive thing. And as I said, and, you know, good things are coming from it. So, and over the next 50 odd days, then we will hopefully see those good things come to fruition.
Nicely said. So everyone gets asked on this podcast a question at the end, and that is, what makes life sublime for you?
Yeah, it's funny. I say this to my kids all the time. I think they get bored of it. I said, like, your dad's a very simple creature. I just, my goals in life are pretty simple. It's like, I don't need fancy things. I just want to have a good time and some good experiences with the people that I love, my friends and my family. And that's it. So, and that's kind of, and have, if I can have a positive impact whilst I'm doing that, then even better. So I think this is the whole challenge is kind of part of that kind of bigger goal. So yeah, that would probably make things, if I could do that for the rest of my life, it'd be fairly sublime for me, I think.
That sounds wonderful. So Let's just recap on if people want to take part, and they should go to Instagram 50in50_challenge, the 50 are numbers, not words, and they can DM you if they want to be a participant, if they are a business wanting to support this, and if they just want to give, they can go to Just Giving. They can search, they can type in 50in50, again, no spaces. 50 is the number 50. And they can also search your name, which is David, normal spelling, Calero, which is Coleiro, if they want to go to that Just Giving page.
Good spelling. Great. Good spelling.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, David. Good luck with everything.
No, thanks so much, Hayley. Lovely to speak to you again. And thanks so much for the opportunity to tell people about it. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.